Wealth Band Podcast Confederations Cup specials. Who was expecting them? Well, we were, and you were, because we told you.
We said it last week.
Yeah. Well, we said it 2 weeks ago. Declan Maron over there.
Nice big 2 week break. Nice to be back.
We're talking over there as well. School's back in then, lads, eh? Summer school start, as we'd say. Summer school. Enjoyed the 2 weeks off?
It was grand, yeah. Didn't get. I'm kind of just back from holiday, so I missed some Confederations Cup. So.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was alright, yeah. It was good. Naked cyclists, it's weird.
Moving on. You were talking. How was your holiday?
Terribly, terribly dull, and not at all life affirming in any way.
No naked cyclists?
No, oh, that was me.
Oh,
weird.
Interesting. I've been cycling, but not naked. It's different.
Probably the best way.
Yeah. Clothing is...
Actually aids the cycling.
It's optional, but it's preferable.
Yeah. Less friction of things.
Yeah, you can see we're struggling for things to talk about here. The 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com is the email address @12thmanpodcast on the Twitter. Get on there, you know. Confederations Cup, all that kind of banter, we'll be talking about that. But
And if the banter stays at this level, you are going to have a ball.
You are going to be turning off swiftly. Right, that's the first round of games are over, though. And, you know, we're in Brazil. We're not actually in Brazil. We're not in Brazil. But it is in Brazil. Brazil 3, Japan 1. Neymar got a goal.
Japan 0.
So, yes. Giving Japan goals and didn't get
off to a mistake right from the off at the Confederations Cup.
And Italy beat Mexico. 5-0, no, 2-1.
Yes, Brazil.
It's Group A, I believe, which seems a lot stronger than Group B, considering, well, Nigeria and Tahiti.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. I suppose they just put the it with Spain.
And even Uruguay, you can say.
Yeah, Uruguay. Well, they did
Brazil, Italy, and Mexico might well be stronger than Uruguay. Uruguay quite good, I mean.
Yeah, they won the Copa Libertadores. Wasn't it Copa Libertadores?
No, that's the
Copa America.
Yes, Copa America.
Yeah.
I apologise. Two horrendous mistakes right at the start of the podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm just giving Japan.
Let's just get back to naked cyclists.
We were better. We were in our
three mistakes.
We were a mistake turning the recorder on in the fourth place, I think. Yeah, Brazil beat Japan. Quite a good start for the hosts. You know, there's been a lot of trouble around Brazil before the tournament, and we saw the friendly they played against England the other week. They didn't look particularly good, and there was a lot of worries about the stadium. The American lad, they were saying it wasn't finished and it wasn't safe, and that friendly was going to be off at one stage, and it was back on. You know, it's good to see they actually got it there, but there's been riots and whatnot around the streets streets of Brasilia, the capital, and other places as well, São Paulo, and around the stadium, even protests because of what the Brazilian FA are doing with FIFA to host the World Cup and the Confederations Cup and the money that's gone to waste.
Absolutely.
No,
well, we don't delve into too much politically in this. Down to the young people's anger around promises that the government made before when they originally were awarded the ability to host the World Cup. They talked about, you know, the money would only be used, the private money would only be used on stadiums, but it's not that way, and they're being made pay. So it's looking, I don't think it's not like a hooligan problem or something like that, in the sense of normal people walking through the city. You know, there's always going to be troublemakers here and there, but I don't think it'll affect the World Cup too much, hopefully.
It's always, you wonder that. You can see there that the police are dealing with it, but it's such a small scale. Like, it's going to be worse next year at the World Cup that you worry that, what are they going to do then? Because that's when the real protests, and you're going to get hooligans coming over naturally. Because
Well, I mean, when we say the real protests begin, it's like the biggest turnout since, like, I don't know, some sort of revolution type thing they had many years ago. Like, it's a huge, mass turnout. I don't know if you saw it in the news, but anyway. Mm. There was also football.
There was football.
And Neymar's was a beaut.
Barcelona's Neymar.
Yeah.
Barcelona's Neymar. It's strange to be able to say that. It's kind of been so long, like, whether it will be Barcelona's Neymar. And I think we were talking about this yesterday, Rue. They kind of dubbed him the new Robinho.
Yeah.
I won't dub him that yet.
No, I think he's better than Robinho. I mean, he's one of only four or five players to score 100 goals before he's 20.
Franny Jeffers probably up there as well.
Yeah, along with Franny Jeffers.
Yeah.
He's certainly not up there.
But those stats can be quite skewed because the Brazilian state championships where they play very weak teams. And Yeah, it is. I'm not taking that away from. But anytime I've seen them play, I haven't been impressed. I mean, they have been high profile friendlies for Brazil, mainly the two games against England, where I didn't think he did anything really to you know, to warrant the praise he gets. You know, there's great YouTube clips of him scoring goals, and also maybe this is a chance for him to really show what he's about. I mean, he's already got
of, you know, plenty of players.
Yeah, but I don't think it is, as you said earlier. It isn't just YouTube clips. that back his career, but now it'll be good to see if he can take it on a higher scale to actually make himself a genuine big name in the game. Cracking goal though, he really hit that one. That's a good way to kind of
technique and that strike was unbelievable.
He's very technically gifted. That's one he's got. It's just whether strength, I think, might be an issue. I don't know.
Stupid hair
might be an issue. Attitude as well, even.
Yeah, exactly.
Which coincides with stupid hair, I'd say.
I found it strange because a lot of people talked about. I know when BBC introduced it anyway, they introduced it as not exactly the strongest Brazilian side. So kind of starting off on a weak note, but I think they're relatively strong in their front three. I mean, that Fred has been scoring as of late decently. Hulk, whatever way you want to say it, you know, is a threat. He always is going to cut inside and smash one on his left. And Neymar, I know it's not the exact same, but I mean, I still don't think I wouldn't call him a weak team or anything like that. You know,
it's just in comparison to some of the teams.
Of course. But you can say that about every team nearly.
Yeah, Neymar might well turn out to be like a Ronaldo type figure rather than Robinho. You know, you don't want Robinho, I don't think. You know, you look at that great Brazil squad from 98 in 2002 or 94, like they were in three World Cup finals in a row. Like to look at that team with. It's just wonderful players like Ronaldo, Maldinho and all come through at that time.
And we can now add Joe to the list.
Joe, yeah.
He got his first Brazilian goal.
Strange that he was chosen to even represent him.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Leandro Damião was injured and Joe's had a pretty good year. And again, I think it was Martin Keown. No, it wasn't Martin Keown. It was like Steve Wilson of BBC was like, you know, why not take Pato or Robinho?
Yeah,
Pato's had a disastrous time since.
Well, Pato's had a disastrous time since moving to Europe nearly.
Yeah, exactly. He's been injured all the time, and even he's moved back to Corinthians now, and he's not had a good spell there. Rubinho's not what you'd want as a striker either. I mean, you're talking about a front man.
Yeah, Joe's. I don't know if he's going
to
be.
And he's had a good year.
Yeah, you know? I'm not
actually to point out as well, Steve Wilson. When I talked about not the strongest Brazilian comment, he also talked about when you don't have the likes of Kaká, Robinho, Pato, Ramirez, Rafael, and Fernandinho. I was like, some strange examples in there. Like, Kaká's very poor these days. You know, Ramirez would have never been. Rafael is maybe now coming into it a bit.
Yeah.
You know, Pato, I would have Pato nowhere near that team at this
stage. Do you think Brazil, as a team, you know, we talk about the country, but as a team, do you think they're ready for the World Cup? Do they know what the best team is?
No, probably not, actually. But, I mean, if we're going to take anything from that game, I mean, they were saying at the Brazil game that Cafu came to the camp and they had a huddle around Cafu and he told them, you know, this is like the start of your journey to the World Cup altogether as a group. You know, so I'm sure they're in this competition will be a huge amount of team building for them. And if you want to kind of get an indication of how they'll be in the next World Cup, you should study them this tournament, keep an eye on them and see, you know, what way they'll progress.
Well,
if at all.
That's one of the main purposes of the Confederations Cup as well, has been a complete showpiece. Like it's teams and scouts and countries and nations studying the climate and the way other teams play. Like, you know, we talk about there's eight teams there. I'm sure Germany, I'm sure Holland, you know, have sent people over to check out what the football's like, what the conditions are like, and this is the perfect opportunity, you know, to test hotels and all that, the logistics of it all. I think that's one of the main reasons that teams, you can take a lot from it. You can go that, oh, well, Brazil romped home, like, you know, they won a lot of matches. Then this is a great way to deal with the pressure of the fan, because they don't play a lot of friendlies at home, and the only games they're going to have between now and the World Cup are the
friendlies. That's the thing, people have compared them to, like, the Harlem Globetrotters. I believe it was BBC, Steve Wilson again, compared them to the Harlem Globetrotters of football. I was like, they're not quite that, you know, they're not out of this world type thing yet, but you know, they don't, as you said, they don't play many friendlies at home, kind of thing. So it'll be interesting. They've never lost, or only won one defeat on home soil since. Oh God, I can't even remember the date. That was a bad fact.
Probably the England beat them in 1984, was it? Or something like that? John Barnes scored.
Oh, the friendly, maybe competitive, sorry, competitive.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They don't have a lot of competitive matches in Brazil, though. I suppose. Yeah. No, but they're at their home stadium. This is the only competitive match they've played in the last 3 years now, isn't it? 2 years? Something like that. I mean, they don't, because they're not qualifying for the World Cup, so they don't have, this is a great chance for them. And it's a great chance for all the other teams, obviously.
It was interesting seeing their shape. I mean, it changed a lot. Oscar played very central at the start. Paulinho was in there, something people, big questions over him, and he actually scored quite a very nice snapshot goal. I thought he did well for a defensive midfielder. Pot shot, if you will, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting seeing how these guys are going to interact. Like, Oscar was excellent for Joe's goal. Had quite a run, fed Joe brilliant. Joe still had to finish it, and he did, you know, relatively well to finish it. But, I mean, that was served on a
platter. Relatively well for Joe, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's supposedly having a good year over there.
Yeah, well, look, we're only judging from what we saw in the Premiership. Yeah. Man City and Everton, where he was very underwhelming and cost a lot of money in the first place.
Yeah. All right, hair, though.
Better hair. Right, move on. Italy, Mexico. Pirlo free kick.
Yeah, yes, it was good.
It was what?
It was quite tasty.
Tasty. Is that word described?
Did the keeper let it in?
I think he did.
I think it was a bug. That's what people were talking about. Was it? We'll get the Suarez lane, but his goal or Suarez goal better? A lot of people were kind of Suarez because the keeper didn't take a bone to bloody let it in. Like, you know, I thought it was mental.
It was a strange one because it was a great free kick, but.
He just got so intimidated that it was Pirlo.
It was in the corner. And it just seemed to be, like, looking at it and going in. You're like, oh, it's a lovely free goal. And then you get the angle from behind the goal. And you're like, well, the keeper's jumping. He's just going to pull it away. Maybe the only thing I can think is he's afraid he throws his hand up. He's going to fall into the post. But you might take that risk to stop the ball going into the net.
Phil Babb put more in his bloody hands and head. Well, he put a head on the line for
it. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it seems strange. The keeper, Corona, should have saved it.
Mm.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Really. And then, you know, the way the first half was going, in my opinion, was Mexico just seemed to be camped in their own half. You were just passing the ball around. Pirlo was wonderful.
You were saying it was just like watching Pirlo practice a free kick.
That was the second half. Yeah.
A lot of that came from Balotelli got kicked about a lot, didn't he?
Well, they had a great... They did this in Euro 2002 too, and I haven't really seen much of Italy since then because you don't see the qualifying games. But what they did in Euro 2002 was Balotelli would run because he was...
Euro 2002?
Euro 2012,
Balotelli going on eight or something.
And it would have been a World Cup then.
Just
having some Euros in his house. It took me a minute to kind of... I saw you say it. I was like, wait, is he going to reference something from World Cup 2002? I'll correct him about that after.
Euro 2012.
12.
Yeah, that's the one.
Last year.
No, it was they had Balotelli with great pace up front and he make these runs in behind the defenders, and Pirlo would just put these wonderful balls in. That's when he scored one of the great goals in Germany. Yeah. It was just a wonderful Pirlo ball, and just the way he played on June 9th was Pirlo just passing the ball, getting the ball, passing it. Mm. And he'd make these simple passes just left and right, and then he'd just look up, wonderful pass up field. You're just thinking, I've never seen a guy pass the ball as well as that.
No.
I mean, you don't see Iniesta and Xavi do it, and I know Aaron Fabregas to a certain extent, maybe in the Premiership, but you don't seem to do it because they don't play that kind of ball.
Yeah,
and they give wonderful true balls as well, but Pirlo, just when he lobs that ball just over the top, you're like,
absolute masterclass.
How do you learn it?
Absolute masterclass. And I suppose it helps as well now that they've got a player like Balotelli who has the potential to be a complete forward, really. I mean, when you talk in the sense of he's not a target man, he's not a kind of playing
he's
off
skill.
Another striker. He's the ideal man to have, like, if he can keep his head, like people all speculate about. But talent wise, he's complete. He's got pace. He's got strength. He has the ability to be a phenomenal striker, and I think we've always known that. But I think it becomes so evident with Italy because you get to see him as like the number one with someone like Pirlo supplying him.
Yeah, that's great. Pirlo's not obviously going to be there for forever, but Balotelli's only what, 23?
Yeah,
he's so young, and he scored it in the end. Like, he got the winning goal in this match, and it's vital, like, to the team. All of a sudden, he hasn't got many goals, really, but he got two against Germany in the Euros. He scored now, he scored some important goals, and he's still so young that you know, if Pirlo will be around, I assume, for the World Cup, if they can keep him, they can keep Balotelli, and they can, you know, they've got other good players like around them, Giovinco and stuff like that, they can make these runs.
I think his goal, Balotelli, is the goal he scored, it was a great, the winner, it was a great example of how he can be a complete forward, because he was a decent target man for that exact thing. He turned really well and then he nicked in ahead of the recovering Mexico defender to slot it in. So it was like the kind of all three things that you'd nearly expect three separate, you know, if you broke it down to three separate strikers, you know, one would maybe Suarez be beating people, Andy Carroll would be the target man, and Dirk Kuyt would be the...
would the goal score?
Trying to keep it in Liverpool. Cisse
would have pace.
Henry?
Named one.
Hernandez scored a penalty for Mexico. It's like 38 goal or something for Mexico.
Incredible. That's pretty good, yeah.
Incredible is that. He's loads of goals. Like, Mexico seemed to play a match every second week anyway, but
yeah,
he has an awful lot of goals for Mexico. Because
is that how Borghetti got so much?
Probably, yeah. I think he can still do a job, as I said.
You did. Borghetti, I don't know. I saw. I think Borghetti 10 years ago wasn't doing much of a job.
But Borghetti at Bolton wasn't doing much of a job.
Yeah.
It's just Mexico needed an outlet at that stage. They just seemed to be trapped in their own half. I was a bit disappointed in them, to be honest. For most of the first half, they just kind of sat back and they got lucky with the, not that they got lucky with penalty, but they got a break and they got a penalty and they scored it. And in the second half, it was just foul after foul after foul. And there was an instance of 7 minutes or so where Pirlo was just took three free kicks and I don't think they really went near. Like, none of them really challenged the goalkeeper, but
if it was on target, probably would have more than challenged him.
But he was just kind of stood back and, you know, you're like, what is this? It's just a shooting practice for Pirlo. Like, are they even trying? I was just disappointed in what Mexico were doing.
I think they're a big name country, and you always kind of expect going into a tournament, especially a smaller tournament like this, you're like, oh, we'll see them, you know, mix it up a little now. But it's a disappointing start. Hopefully we'll see more from them.
Moving on to the Group B, as you said, the weaker group. Spain, Suarez's free kick, we mentioned that, I suppose we start with that. Better free kick than Pirlo's then?
I think so. I love seeing Pirlo score free kicks. I think people put that association with it where it's like, but it's Pirlo and he scored a free kick, how can you think that's not better? But it's just the goalkeeper, it ruins it a little. Looks like a bum.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying. I don't know. I just think the technique of Pirlo and shoulder that free kick is just I just love seeing that. Just that,
yeah, but that's my point. That's my exact point. People love seeing that, and that's why.
Suarez's goal was as good, but I still think just the technique that Pirlo has to get it.
Oh, up and out.
He just kind of makes it look so easy.
Really. Yeah,
I could do that. Well, I'm gonna sit down again.
I'm no Pirlo.
Yeah, I think one of the great things was they weren't trying what Ronaldo or Bale does. They weren't trying to hit this sweet,
swervy smash.
They went for a classic free kick. It was up, over the wall, and down into the goal. They curled it at an angle. And that's, you know, and I think it might be mentioned in commentary. It was like, this worked, and it's worked for, you know, 80 years, 100 years, like, of football. That people have been able to get the ball up and down if they had the right technique. Now, not saying that Ronaldo and Bale shouldn't do it the way they do, or Drogba is taking free kicks. That works for them. But that kind of classic free kick is much more suited, to most players. Most players don't have the power that.
Exactly.
It's more reliable as well.
If you're
picking out a spot and just trying to hit it, as opposed to just absolutely whacking the ball.
Yeah, well, in fairness, we know a man of major free kicks like Roberto Carlos, who had the talent to do something like that. But everyone shouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be still.
There is that thing where it's like, oh, Ronaldo kicks a ball really weird, and people just kept trying to emulate it.
Some player will have a technique.
Yeah, every once in a while.
To be able to change it around. But they also have the power on their legs to hit it there. And, you know, Pirlo's been scoring free kicks the way he has for years. You have players like Del Piero scoring free kicks like that.
Loving all these mentions. Like, love McAllister mentioned just after Del Piero. Get them on a team together.
Maybe not.
Oh, yeah, be like a very old Pirlo Balotelli setup.
Well, you could get McAllister over to Sydney, is it?
Yeah. He hasn't played in about 5 years now. He'd be really struggling.
He's well into his 40s at this stage. He was old when he was at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 37 at that stage.
Jesus.
That was a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
Uruguay looked absolutely knackered.
Yeah, they were very poor, weren't they?
They were poor, but they seemed... the humility seem to be getting at them.
Yeah, didn't they play a qualifier more recently or something like that? So, but it's still, it's not an excuse. I mean,
Cavani didn't seem to be doing much either. He didn't. There wasn't much going on.
Yeah, he wasted quite a good chance. I think Uruguay overall were very deep.
I think, yeah.
Very deep in their own half for mostly. Well, for certainly from what I saw from the first half. I think
they were afraid to push the centre backs up. Now, naturally enough, that's fine against Spain, but I think they know that their centre backs are kind of. Well, again, it was. But I think kind of some of the defenders are aging to a certain extent and don't have a lot of pace. They're more physical, and that's the way they've always been. Mm. Very physical. And there was a kind of a gap then between the defence and the midfield, and then the midfield and the attack, and Spain were just sitting in those gaps going, well, that's what we play our football. Like, we don't sit at up, we don't have a striker who stands outside the box, like, you know, that, well, they do, like, when they want it, but they bring Llorente on, they can stick him on up there. But they usually have this false number nine, like this kind of Fabregas running back off, or even David Villa, like, is a wonderful player on the ball. Like,
Do you think that Soldado is now should be the number one for Spain?
Alfonso,
Because I was thinking that looking back. I mean, for a while now, like we've all said for what Villa's getting old. He's not the player he was. Still a great player to have in around the team, but not. I wouldn't have him starting at this stage. Torres has just consistently been the way he is the last 2 or 3 years. It's the only consistency he manages to find these days. And apart from that, there's Llorente, or as you said, the kind of maybe play Fabregas there or whatever. But if, as far as you're going for a striker, I think Soldado's.
Yeah, well, Llorente is the big kind of option up front, but that's not the way Spain play. So a player like Soldado, who's a goal scorer, probably then we saw was he scored 3 goals
yeah
on the last day of the season. Like, I mean,
I have to say, his goal, there was every when we talk about Suarez free kick and all that. His goal was absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
in the movement from Iniesta took it from just outside of their own box.
He kind of ran it up. Or so. What did he
do? It was Iniesta ran from, say, outside of, maybe just inside their own half.
Yeah.
Kind of went to break forward with it. Two people closing down. And the way he kind of turned and swiveled really well, played it out to Pedro on the right. I think it was Pedro. And Pedro gave a good early ball into Fabregas. Fabregas turned briefly and wonderful true ball to Soldado, and Soldado just buried it.
There's one instance when Nesta just kind of flicked the ball up over something, and just was like,
but it was just a perfect goal. When you're looking at like someone like Iniesta did the right thing, held on to possession, but still picked out a forward pass. The winger not only supported him, but gave a lovely early true ball, or gave a lovely early ball back into Fabregas. I was like, you never see that. You'd see someone pelt up to the top corner and try and cross it, and it go out wide or something.
Oh, it's just. Yeah,
perfect. And Fabregas's true ball was like immaculate.
Fabregas has been linked to a move away from Barcelona.
Yeah, I think they've said that it's not going to happen. Yeah, I'm glad it would be ridiculous. Yeah. We spent 2 or 3 years talking about this speculation, only for him to, you know. And the worst thing was, it's not like he's linked back to Arsenal or something.
Yes,
yeah, it's United. It's like, why would he do that?
Are Spain a favourite then, again?
Yeah, I would like Brazil to make it to the final as the host country now, and Tahiti, but I think Spain Italy final.
Yeah.
The third Spain and Italy final of recent competitions.
Yeah.
Do you think they can get there?
Who?
Italy? Do you think Italy will make it there?
Yeah, I think we very very much could see a Spain Italy final.
All right.
If that's possible, is that possible? The Greece?
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is.
Nigeria 6, Tahiti 1. Let's patronise Tahiti. Let's patronise them.
Yeah, well, Ronnie Whalen.
Silly nation shouldn't be there. I'd rather see Germany there.
To people that don't get any of this, Ronnie Whalen, former footballing man, current RTE pundit. Awful, awful, awful pundit. Really had no clue what was going on. And I'd recorded the game. I actually hadn't seen it live. I was looking back over. I thought I'd get some bit of analysis pre-game because I don't know a lot about Tahiti myself. Nice to see Richie Sadler, a former Millwall player and former Ireland man.
English now.
Mr. Ireland. But thought it'd be nice to get their points of view. And it really was not. Sadler was excellent and Ronnie Whelan really was not. He said, where do I start? I honestly don't know where to start talking about him.
The first thing is he didn't seem to understand what the point of the Confederations Cup is.
Well, he started off insulting them by saying, there was a talk of a low unemployment rate. So Ronnie Whelan went, a low rate of employment, a high unemployment rate. And Ronnie Whelan decided to make a joke at that saying, what was it that... It's all right that they don't have jobs they should be fit because they'll train all day. There's a silver lining to everything.
It's been a moron.
Yeah. he followed that up by criticising FIFA for not sending enough quality coaches to Oceania. A point which Sadler excellently countered, saying, the thing you should criticise FIFA for is taking Australia out of the Oceania scene.
Yeah.
Because usually it would be Oceania or New Zealand that represent them. Australia or New Zealand that represent them. Australia have moved to the Asian qualifiers, and New Zealand reportedly went on a bit of a piss up the night before the semi-final and lost to New Caledonia because of it. So it was more of a supposed freak thing that they got in. Ronnie Wynn decided to criticise and FIFA for not bringing enough coaches, which is not their job. Just absolute nonsense. Mm-hmm. He made a few other comments like he'd prefer to see Germany.
Yeah.
Which again, Sadler said, the tournament isn't to make things that you enjoy, like your favourite teams.
He didn't seem to grasp the concept of it's the best confederations.
It's a confederation.
You're gonna have a bit of an overlap with, you know, South American teams and European teams if they win the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the Copa America. That's a different story, but you can't just start throwing in random nations. That's not the point of it. That's what the World Cup is there for. That's what the European Championship is there for. It's a tournament that the best teams will qualify for. Okay, Tahiti probably won't qualify for the World Cup. You know, they might finish top of their confederation. They have to then play a playoff against whoever finishes fifth in South America. Now, it's most likely that New Zealand are going to finish top there, so they're going to play a qualifier. And that's going to be really difficult, even for New Zealand, who did make the last World Cup, to get to the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not Tahiti's fault that they're there.
No.
You don't put blame on it. Yeah, they might get destroyed in each of their games, but what's the point in putting another nation in that don't deserve to be there?
Exactly. I don't think we can... Look, it's always been there in football. Like, weaker teams can get destroyed sometimes. If you take that out of it completely... I mean, they made the point to him, Ireland lost 6-1 to Germany recently. And he went, yeah, but that was a bit of a shock. I don't think it was. I think all of us expected to get trashed. Maybe not exactly 6-1, but we were lucky to even get a goal, as you pointed out.
Could have been
6-0. Yeah. What, should we not be in the tournament then?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we lost 6-0?
It makes it seem like no good team should ever have to play a weaker team.
Think of the FA Cup, that exact example. The whole point of it is that weaker teams play the big teams. Mm. It's the big competition feel to it. And it's like, it doesn't go, oh, there's no point. It should just be like United and Chelsea in the final instantly.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's like,
or Arsenal, if you want.
No, come on.
It's like he's talking about meriting, that they got there on merit, but they still don't deserve to be
there.
It's just
that he didn't want it.
But that's like, what would merit anyone else be in there?
Yeah.
It's like, it just makes no sense.
Flawed arguments.
Yeah, like, it's the whole thing with Tahiti is that they're 139th in the world, I believe. Nigeria are 31st. They absolutely hammered them. They played a warm-up game to Chile's under-20s, Tahiti.
Tahiti, yeah.
And lost 7-0.
Yeah.
You know, so, like...
So they're doing better.
Yeah, that's an improvement. But, I don't think they're obviously going to go in and take the experience from the tournament. They're going to try as hard as they can, which they did. They tried hard. And, you know, they're just not... It's not... Football isn't even their number one sport.
They did score some hilarious home goals. As well.
Yeah, which was... The point with the celebration was canoeing, because canoeing is their number one sport, you know? So, I don't know. I think it was an absolute disgrace for Ronnie Wynn. He showed his absolute lack of knowledge on anything to do with outside of, like, why aren't Germany or Ireland or England there? And it's like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. It was just ridiculously entertaining, though. We played it like an episode in the office.
Yeah, it really did. It was outrageous. Like, because I had it recorded, and before we did this podcast, we played it back and watched it.
He seemed to just... to dig himself a hole.
Yeah.
And kept going.
Because Darren Maloney, the host, who was usually relatively neutral, was getting stuck into him, telling him like why he's wrong.
Right, so. That's great television. Yeah. You know, why you sit back and let him make mistakes as you see it other channels? Like,
exactly.
We criticise BBC for the likes of Alan Shearer and Mark Lawrenson, who just don't say anything important ever.
Mm.
And you kind of go, what's the point in you being there when you could have somebody who makes interesting points on, like Pat Nevin does even, I think, on Match Day 2. But what's the point in having these pundits on if they're not going to do anything? And I didn't see BBC's coverage of this match.
I'll tell you one thing about BBC's coverage. Lineker dyed his hair, and it looks quite amber, is how I'd describe it. Amber.
He dyed his hair?
Yeah, it looks like he's dyed his hair. He doesn't. It's not as grey as it was.
It's not just light in the studio?
It's probably something to do with a crisp ad campaign or something like that. It's probably new Amber crisps. But, yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, we can seem a little biased if they want to give out by... We trash BBC's coverage a lot because a lot of it's quite poor. Now, the Irish one is in quality poor, but in...
entertainment.
And quite a lot of it is also certain individuals come along every now and again.
Yeah.
Like Richie Sadler. Brian Kerr is a fantastic pundit.
John Charles has been involved in the game for years. And yeah. He does talk a lot of sense. Now,
gets on my nerves every now and again. He gets confused, but...
Yeah, but there are pundits... there are pundits out there that... They're not going to say anything relevant ever. And like Alan Shearer, he just... What's the point in having him on there? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather the entertainment than being told dull, boring facts that I already know. And, you know, for the average person watching the analysis of the game, they know a fair bit about the game. What's the point in making these, you know, irrelevant points that everybody knows about?
Yeah, he just, as I said, he just doesn't introduce anything. He certainly doesn't research anything. We have to do some research for this, and it's free, and, you know.
That's not
but but we still have to do quite a bit of research before we come here, because we don't want to come here and say nothing. Whether that's looking at some other people's media shows, researching stuff ourselves, but you can see in people like himself, or like, forgot his name, we were just talking
Ronnie
about.
Ronnie Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronnie Will. People like him. Like, there's no research done there. He's turning up and just talking, he's not even looked into what the Confederation
but
the Cup is. Like,
he's not consuming any other kind of media, and that is a form of research, reading a newspaper, listening to a podcast, watching Sky Sports News, watching any kind of sports programme.
But I think it's disgraceful that he's on our team.
You know, people who have an interest in football will think that's an absolute disgrace. And I think it's not an insult, but RT seriously needs to consider why they have somebody on there who doesn't do any research, isn't in touch with modern football, when anybody could go online and look up, you know, facts of Tahiti or facts of Federation's Cup.
It's what we're doing. It's what we're doing this show about. Like, we're not well versed in all the Confederation Cup stuff, but we've had to research it. We've had to look it up. We've had to watch the games. I actually do think it's disgraceful that he's on there.
I'm almost starting to realise why he thinks that another team could just get in.
Yeah.
To the competition, because he got into the studio based on not much merit, just the fact that he used to play football.
Ronnie's the Tahiti of Well, no, he's not actually.
Ronnie is the substitute for Tahiti in Germany, because he just thinks...
Is that all it is? He's metaphorically saying that he should be in the A paddle. You know, what's job there? I'm really good.
Anyway, Lanier scored 6 goals. Conceded 1, so it's only a goal difference of 5, and
big moment for them to score, though, Tahiti.
Yeah, Tahoe got the goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Nice header. Horrendous defensive mistakes all
through
the game.
Awful goalkeeping, didn't seem to...
Honestly, it was...
Nigeria goalkeeping. He didn't seem to actually go near the ball. He just kind of stood there and looked at it.
Boom! It's a tournament of bones. If John Giles had been in that studio, he possibly would have had a heart attack.
But they did show the clip. We did see the clip of Tahiti tip off. Ball goes out to the left back throws the play to the left midfield, and the ball's out of play.
Yeah, I mean, it
takes 8 seconds.
Yeah,
going out of play.
I mean, I'm sure people have already heard this because it'd be rehashed and rehashed again, but there's one professional in that team, and I think it was evident. You know, this tournament is like out of their league. It's like one of those really bad movies. You expect Air Bud to turn up and start playing for them or something, you know. But again, without trying to be, you know, trying to dump all over them. Like, I would be delighted. I'm delighted to see them score. I'm delighted to see them get to the tournament. But if they're bad, I'm going to say they're bad.
Yeah,
you know, straight out.
But it's the fact that they've gone to this tournament as well with so little preparation, because they can't prepare.
Yeah.
Well, they have all day.
they don't have jobs. That's really funny to me. Silver lining.
Because I have a job.
Please, well, maybe you won't for much longer.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
And maybe
a silver lining, Ronnie, you've all day to research now.
Maybe to emigrate to Tahiti. Wouldn't that be great? We just sent him off.
And for the World Cup, we sent Ronnie Will to Tahiti for a special investigation into how the Confederations Cup has impacted them.
I'm really warm.
they're all busy with jobs.
Should be training.
What I was trying to say was that they didn't have a lot of time to prepare, or they thought they didn't have a lot. They didn't have the facilities to prepare, the finances even to go and compete with. Like, they can't get, you know, friendlies against teams of the caliber of even Nigeria or Uruguay or Spain.
We'll play them. But we have a group of us that play football. Gladly play them.
Well, they'll probably trash us.
Yeah. Probably.
Definitely. Yeah. I'd go as far as saying they definitely trash us.
You should invite
Ronnie Whelan then.
Make him watch. And then he can play.
No, he's not. I'm not playing with him.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's that they didn't have to, you know, they don't have those studies to prepare, and you know, they're never gonna get better as a team if they don't compete against better teams. And they do play teams their own caliber, that's why they're there, because they beat New Caledonia and they beat New Caledonia, but like, they're playing teams like that every once in a while, and that's teams around their caliber. They're going to play teams that are better than them eventually. They're going to keep getting beaten by them eventually. But if you look and say, look at even Armenia and teams like that, Albania beat Denmark 4-0 the other week.
Yeah.
Like, in Denmark, who would have thought Albania would beat Denmark?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I mean, you think of, I know it's not a huge amount, but everyone from Tahiti will know that Tahiti have gone to the Confederations Cup.
Yeah, it's less than 200,000 population.
I'm sure a good crowd went over, if they managed to. And, you know, like, I just think it's, as you said, it's the only way for them to advance it. Like, to make football more popular in that nation. Especially because a lot of them will think, I have a chance of getting in this team, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, or in the squad.
Yeah, and it's kind of, in a way, what, I know it's not a fair comparison at all, but when Ireland made it to Euro 88 and the World Cup, Italia 90, like, I mean, that was a massive boom. And after that, you look and say, well, you know, 10 years after that, what were we doing? We had Robbie Keane, we had Damien Duffy, Shea Given, Richard Dunn, John O'Shea. They produced actually good players. It got people interested in the world, into soccer, because before then, people listening might not know, they might not be Irish, but, you know, it was almost frowned upon in the country because of the national sport, the GAA, ruling over that kind of stuff, and just political circumstances in the country. But after that, soccer became so vital and important to everybody. And you can see, like, there were League of Ireland teams before that, but suddenly there was a boom, man. People wanted to play soccer, and because it was easy, it was accessible.
Yeah,
and never know what'll happen
in about 10 years when the Tahitian canoeing team wins something, they'll all run around celebrating while pretending to play football.
Yeah.
I think it's worth saying as well, Nigeria were dreadful.
We were saying they were trying to dribble from the keeper.
I'd say about 5 or 6 times they tried to do that. There's a the problem with them at the moment, Nigeria. They were protesting last week, talking about staying in their hotel and not coming to the cup, or play. I'm not sure if it's to the cup or playing someone more recently. But there's a problem with bonuses where they were. I think it was. I'm not sure how much money. Just say a random figure, right? And they said, we'll give you that per win in the tournament. Yeah. You'll get that each per draw. You'll get half of that kind of thing. And then they said, right, look, we're broke. We don't have that money. So they cut that in half, so the bonuses were going to be halved.
Yeah,
and that, so the players protested and decided.
This happened before Togo and the African Nations. Yeah, or the World Cup. Sorry, they got to in 2006. Bonuses weren't paid. Stuff like that.
But there was stuff there's stuff like that. They missed their flight apparently out.
Yeah, they were late.
They were late getting it, so they had to rearrange all that. So there's big, you know, big problems there already.
But as I said, logistically, you need to plan these things out, and that's kind of why Confederations Cup is on as well.
Yeah,
to test these facilities, to test security, test all that.
But I mean, come the next two games, I wouldn't be surprised to see Nigeria being, because they were very sloppy. Like, the reason they conceded a goal was down to their sloppiness.
I just wonder, like,
two of the goals were own goals they scored.
It's not it's not conceivable for Nigeria to go and lose 6-1 to Spain, and then suddenly where does that put them?
And you go, and Ronnie Whelan says they shouldn't be in it.
Yeah, you got the argument again, saying, well, why are Nigeria there? It's like, they're gonna
Barcelona lost to Bayern Munich over two legs, 8-0. Yeah. Maybe Barcelona shouldn't be in the Champions League. There's no point.
The point is that that Nigeria are there, and they are a very good team, quite a good team. They have great players.
They're something in the rankings or something.
But it's not inconceivable that they get beaten heavily by Spain. You know, then your argument becomes so flawed. Your logic behind it becomes flawed.
I think it was a little flawed from the start.
Yeah, anyway. Moving away from the Confederations Cup, the European Under-21 Championships finished up yesterday.
Yeah.
And Spain won 4-2 to beat Italy in the final. And it's kind of strange when you look at that Spain team. And pretty much every one of them was a household name already.
Yeah.
You had Aya, you had Isco, Thiago Alcantara sort of hat trick. You had Iker Muniain, all these players like that. Just people just going like, wow, they've been there for, you know, you would think they are a lot older than they actually are. Is this the one I'm trying to get at? It's incredible. Like they walked all over Italy.
I think the penalty to make it 3-1 sort of ruined the game a little.
It did, it ruined the game.
Falsely awarded penalty. It's a great tackle. I can't even remember who it was.
Such a good tackle. And,
On Tello. And it was a fantastic tackle. Won the ball. And kind of after that, Tello fell over the defender's leg. And the referee had a really good view of it as well, which is the most frustrating thing. Mm. When you're like, oh, you can see him kick the ball very clearly.
The only thing is that it does look like Tello is flicking it the same direction as
it goes too far. You can tell. I think you can tell from it that it's not a foul though. Yeah. Looking at it, you know.
Coming down to harsh on the referees here, that's the sweet
respect, man. Look, they're gonna get some wrong anyway. But I think that for me, I was like 3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
What chance did they have?
They had already come back once anyway.
Yeah.
To make a 1-1, and then at 2-1. Could have gone either way.
Yeah, that's not obviously we won't hype it up too much. Spain could have scored 5 minutes later.
Oh, yeah,
very attack they could have scored. You know,
they were brilliant and obviously better than Italy.
Yeah. Isco's really lit up the tournament.
Isco was unreal.
Yeah.
It's a bit, Isco, in talks. Seeing it, quality players in there.
It's not in talks at this stage, but it's sort of Man City and Real are apparently battling for a signature.
Before the game, he was saying it's either or.
I don't want to see him got it either. Yeah, I know that's a really mature thing to say about him.
I mean, I can understand going to Man City to be with Pellegrini, but I think he'd be better served going to Madrid, because you look at the Madrid attacking midfield, you've got Di Maria and Ozil, who are not particularly good at the best times. Di Maria, I think, is a good team, but Ozil never finishes the game. I think he's overrated. They've got Modric there, who does the exact same job as Ozil does.
Ozil's
not a big game player. I think
I'd certainly have Isco on his, the way he is right now, I'd certainly have Isco over him, but I wouldn't say he's not a good midfielder, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah, it's obviously not Ozil's. I'm not saying he's not a good midfielder.
That's too strong.
But for the Calum Madrid, I think they could have a better player. I think Ozil kind of a bit of a passenger on that team for the last season, really. You know, I don't think Modric even had an impact at the team particularly, but you know, I don't see Ozil having a future there if he can't finish a match, which is basically what happened under Mourinho. Maybe it was Mourinho's choice to take him off. I don't know, but they could buy a better quality player, whereas Man City have brought in they've already started bringing new players with Fernandinho and Navas coming in. They've already got Silva there.
Yeah, they're just going to cram the team all over again. And where will Rodwell go then? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the big worry. Not really, though. It's strange, though, in a way, because I was saying, you know, all these Spain players, there's only 2-3 Italy players like names I really recognise.
Yeah,
it's the same with most of the squads. It was kind of...
Yeah. Germany did kind of...
Yeah, I knew a good few of the Germans, but I expected to know a bit more.
They did send a slightly weakened team, though. They kind of said, well, we know these players are going up for the first team.
Yeah.
We want to try. They had a lot of players who were under 19, which is
great. I mean, it gives you a chance to see a few new players, like not much knowledge on... A lot of the under 19, you can only watch so much bloody football anyway. But there's Rode in the midfield.
Rode,
yeah, was fantastic. Well, from the few games I'm presenting, as I said, and we had like 2 weeks off from this. We didn't just watch the under 21s.
Yeah. I mean, they only played 3 games anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But it was fantastic to see a few.
Yeah, it was nice to see a few other people.
Stuart Pearce is gonna leave the.
Yeah.
Nothing leave, he's just not being offered a new contract.
So he will leave. Yeah,
effectively, he'll be made leave.
They're talking, saying Gareth Southgate might get the job, or Michael Appleton. But really, it doesn't matter because the England team seems to be flawed straight away.
I think they said, oh, we're going to have a look at the setup. And I was like, they're not going to do too much to change it, are they?
Well, they have made changes recently, but we're not going to see those impacts for another 10 years, probably, I'd say. You know,
give it to Southgate then. He's about, I'm indifferent about him. He's an indifferent bloke.
Like, we know of all the players. We know Zaha. We know these Ints. They're the big name players on that team. But they've always had decent under 21 teams. They never seem to win anything. And they look and say, well, you know, you go back to 2003, 2004. I remember Defoe even playing on that team. People saying he was a great player. And now you're kind of looking and saying, they were good, but they never won anything. And there's a reason. Because they never won anything at senior level either. So you look and say, great, they have more experience of failure, which is just as important. Like, they're not winning things, they never seem to win things, so there's more experience of failure.
Exactly.
Whereas Italy, I think, have the record of like 5 under 21 championships, and Spain have had 4 now. Yeah, so
yeah.
And Spain were the last one. I mean, I remember Iker Muniain playing the last one. He was like 18.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between an 18-year-old and a 22-year-old, which is the range of ages, is incredible. Like, even physically, like, that's, you know, to be playing in under 21 championship at 18 is to play full competitive football.
Yeah, you can see with the few players that are over there. I mean, Wijnaldum was there for Holland.
Who's over.
But not by very long, I don't think.
No, only within the year. Yes, yeah. That's...
But, same
with Lewis Holtby as well.
Like, yeah. Germany, but but you can see their dominance on a game.
Yeah.
Much more. Like, I mean, Holt is a good player, but he's not one I'd expect to dominate, or hasn't done so far for Spurs, and even when I've seen him before, that he's not a dominant type, but he had a lot of effect on the game. Yeah.
Anyway, that was that.
Good luck to Stuart Pearce in the future, and any future non jobs he's gonna get.
Moving on to the domestic front, just back to England briefly. Strange goes on Newcastle.
Yes.
And Joe Kinnear, who came out on Sunday and declared that he'd been offered a job as director of football.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Mm. Nobody confirmed it from the club. Nobody denied it, though. Monday came, nobody confirmed or denied it. So he decided to do an interview on TalkSport and talk absolute nonsense.
Mm. And then Tuesday, it was
eventually confirmed.
Yeah,
and signed. Today...
Do you think he just bullied his way into that job? Like, it wasn't...
Yeah,
he started speculating, and then they were like, did we? Yeah. No, and he's like, you know, started cursing as he usually does.
Or he just made the point in the first place. You know, like the Sky Sports reporter who broke the news, so I saw it, was like, oh, I just had a call from
Joe Kinnear.
Yeah, I just had a call from Joe Kinnear saying he's been offered a director of football job. It's like, what? And so he obviously started his rumour off himself, and then, you know, maybe Mike Ashley was sitting there, I forgot Joe. That's not a bad idea, actually. Let's do that.
I thought you were dead. No, I'm not dead.
I thought he was still in the books there. Never really sank.
He definitely is. Getting 2 paychecks now.
Derek Lambis is retired today. Or resigned today from his...
Please pronounce his name right.
Oh, Derek Lambisi. As Joe Kinnear. Derek Lambisi, Johan Kebab, Ben Afra.
Ben Afra and Ben Arfi.
And Bam Bobby.
I'm a
Bobby.
My favourite Curtis. One was Jonas Gutenberg.
nurses.
Goiter is.
Oh yeah, goat. He definitely said goat.
He made it. Like, literally.
Got Demba Ba right though. That's good. Impressive.
Yeah.
It's a difficult name.
It's either got them wrong or has been extremely racist.
But just to everyone.
Was it him? And I'm like, no, but when Zogby was there, he called him Charles Insomnia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's apparently why he left or something.
Yeah, I mean,
but
what? What year is this guy from?
There's a piece of the Telegraph here by Luke Edwards, and it's literally a correction of each one. So there's the ones that we would have known, like that he's won Manager of the Year 3 times.
Once.
Yeah, he's won it once, and he won Manager of the Month 3 times in that season. So he mixed them together. Got that. He said things like he signed Dean Holdsworth. You remember he listed a load of players.
Yeah,
so it was like he sold Dean Holdsworth for $3 million after paying $50,000 for him. It was $650,000 and he sold him for $3.5 million. And he said the same about Robbie Earl when he said something like he sold Robbie Earl for a certain amount of money. Robbie Earl retired the year after he left. never been sacked in his life. Supposedly was sacked from Luton. You know, a lot of stuff. Said he brought Tim Krull to the club. Krull was signed under Souness and played under Glenn Roeder 3 years before Kinnear was there. Things even like he says he knows, like, he doesn't know the current crop of players there. As we said, he said things like, Perch was there when I was there.
Yeah,
no,
wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So the year after,
actually, when he said that list, he was like, the two Taylors were there, and then he obviously started running out of players, so named them individually as well.
Even apart from, you know, say all the personnel at the club, you know, he seems to have forgotten his time at the club.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, you know, when I had my heart attack, we were flying, we were 12th. They were 15th, they'd lost 6 games in a row. You know, so it's just, like, he can put it, and he kind of even then insinuated that it's like, not racist in a way, but like, the Geordies only want a Geordie manager.
Yeah.
And says in the article, Bobby Robson's the only one since like 85 or something like that. You know, so it's not a Geordie manager. He said that
they definitely don't want someone who call called them morons.
Yeah, he ended the interview by saying, like, I'm more intelligent than you. Yeah. And I could open the door for any manager in the world. I don't know if he meant that literally.
Yeah.
Like, he meant, he used to be a doorman.
He could physically open the door for any manager. He could apparently pick up the phone and call Ferguson. Any manager he wants.
call Ferguson 3 times a week. Ferguson was like, stop calling me. I'm retired.
Yeah. He can call Arsene Wenger and just chat to him. I was like, why would Arsene Wenger want to talk to that?
What was he gonna have to say to him?
Yeah.
So it's one of those awkward calls where it's
I've got loads of French lads, what will I do?
He feels really bad because obviously he knew Kinnear had the heart attack. He's like, all right, Arsene. Hey, Joe.
Probably have a special phone for
bit busy at the moment. Kind of have to, oh yeah, what are you busy with? Can I come over? No. Probably shouldn't.
I can help out.
Yeah. I can open all sorts of doors.
Yeah. Probably just keys or he's a locksmith or something.
We were talking about the day after as well where he talked with Alan Partridge. He said he was going to talk about it. It's happened by now. But that he was going to meet Alan Partridge the day after the interview for lunch. I was joking with Rue saying, you know, guarantee he won't have reserved anywhere. He'll just be like, I can get us in any restaurant anywhere. And then end up going for a Johan kebab.
Yeah. Classic.
We'll leave it there. Leave it there. Thank you, Declan Maron.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you. If you want to get in touch, 12manpodcast@mail.com or @12manpodcast on the Twitter. And it's goodbye. Back next week. See you soon. Sometimes cats run away to die, so
I know. I hope it didn't come to
die. Or maybe it shows you're going to sunbed.
It's not in the sun, it's gonna die there.
So I was
saying to you it didn't look good. It probably is gonna die in my garden.
And then you have to flush it on the toilet.
I might can deal with it. I don't want to pick up a dead cat.
Their preparation and their experience going into this couldn't be lower. Couldn't be of a lower level, so they could really, really get high.
They should be fit anyway. If they've got no jobs, they've got all day to train. Then haven't they? At least there's always a silver lining somewhere. But it's a big ask for them.
Yeah. Sport in that country, like, what chance does football in that country have of developing?
Well, they've got no interest. Don't have Oceania in this competition.
You can't. The whole federation. The whole,
member associate. If you're not going to get teams good enough in it, don't put them into a big competition like this.
But as you said, they've earned their right to be there.
Put them in a playoff with someone else that better teams. Get a better competition out of it, rather than seeing 3-9-0 games.
Well, it's only 3-0 at the minute. Let's head back, guys. Thank you for the moment. Let's head back for the second half.
They should be fit anyway. They've got no jobs, they've got all day to train, and I'm not sure. At least there's always a silver lining somewhere.
Put them in a playoff with someone else,
and
better teams. Get
better
competition out of it, rather than seeing 3-9-0 games.
Don't have Oceania in this competition. Don't put them into a big competition like this. They've got no jobs. Get a better competition out of it, rather than seeing 3-9-0 games. 3-9-0 games. 3-9-0 games. 3-9-0 games. Don't have Oceania in this competition. They've got...